set.
You're listening to
The Antioch Podcast,
a podcast about learning to lead in the multi-ethnic church.
Have mercy.
Aprendiendo a liderar en la iglesia multiétnica.
Let me say it one more time. The Antioch Podcast,
a podcast ministry of Madison Church.
Oh, I got Jesus, yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Antioch Podcast, a podcast about learning to lead in the multi-ethnic church. My name is Eric Nykamp. My wife and I consider ourselves to be fortunate in life because we have been well-loved by a number of people who have deeply impacted our lives. Most of us long for this kind of transformative connection with people. We are fortunate when we find people whom we can relate to, people we can be unapologetically ourselves with when we are together. This past Sunday, I met with two college students who were tearful at having to say goodbye to the friends and relationships they had formed at our church now that they had graduated. The value of authentic friendships cannot be overstated. One of the joys of listening to podcasts is getting to hear the same people over and over again. The hosts and cast can become like friends. Friends we listen to every episode. As a podcaster myself, I spend a fair amount of time searching and listening to podcasts on race and religion. There are a handful out there, but some of my favorites are those where a cluster of friends switch on the microphone every so often and let us listeners listen in on the conversation they are having. Finding a multi-ethnic group of friends who talk about the things that make them different and similar is more of a challenge. So, imagine my joy when I found the podcast We Talk Different, a podcast that talks about race, religion, politics, gender, and basically everything. Three friends, all Christians, sit down weekly to talk about whatever is happening in the world at the moment that they turn on the mic. Okay. They like to say that they don't talk like everyone else. They talk different. And truthfully, ever since I came across this podcast, I've been wanting to talk with them. So, it was this podcaster's dream to find a way to do this crossover episode with Ashley, Elijah, and Ryan, who make it a point of sharing their lives with all of us in podcast land from deep in the heart of Texas. Now, I'm not going to drag out this prologue. Let's wrap it up and listen to the cast of We Talk Different as they talk about their friendship and how they've learned how to talk together. And if you think this kind of crossover episode is fun, I'd love to hear your thoughts whether or not you would be interested in attending a live event sometime where Christian podcasters who talk about race and religion get together, maybe in 2019 or 2020. I'd like to gauge the level of interest in this, so leave comments on our Facebook and Twitter pages or send us an email at antiochpod@gmail.com. Now, let's go and listen to this conversation.
Eric.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, man. Good.
Let me get you on the phone. Here we go.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
All right, there we go. And Elijah's here.
Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good.
This is fun.
Let me see if I can add Ashley here. Add a phone call. There we go. I think we're all connected.
Oh, you sound good.
Ashley, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now. You were in and out for a second.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, that's okay.
Hopefully we're good. So that's Ashley Irons. Eric's on the other end.
Hello.
Hey. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing good. How are you?
So good. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, this is pretty fun. I've got a huge smile on my face right now.
I do too, because it's Friday.
Hey, thank you all for coming on to the Antioch Podcast. It's kind of fun listening to somebody who I listen to through my headphones, you know, every week. And now you get to talk to them for real, and you're like, oh, they're talking back to me.
So yeah, this is great. How did y'all start out with this?
Y'all gonna defer to me? Come on.
Well, you kind of are the reason why we started it.
Well, maybe you should introduce yourselves for the few people that maybe don't know who you are and are going to want to, you know, they're going to look you up as soon as you're done with this. So,
the lots of people. I'm Ashley Irons, and I am one of three of the co-hosts of the We Talk Different podcast. And, we started, really, it was Ryan and I that started with a working relationship. Ryan actually was my old boss, and
where were you working?
Top secret location that we cannot share.
Oh, you can't share. Okay. I see how this goes.
Top secret. And the reason why we'll keep that confidential is because we ended up having a work culture that allowed for us to kind of talk through some of the stuff that was happening in the world around us, and all of us were believers, and we needed ways to talk through a lot of stuff. And the main topic was race a lot of time. And
how
I don't
fun.
Know. Yeah, right. And so I was the only black person at the time. And so I kind of became the resident expert. And unfortunately, at first, it was an interesting to talk about that or talk through race with a whole bunch of white people that neither I had the language or the knowledge nor did they the language or the knowledge to have a real in-depth, meaningful conversation. So it took us a long time to kind of get through all the weeds and start to talk about real stuff, but it took some time. So that's how it started. And then later Elijah came. And we just had an idea to take those conversations that we would have around a table and record them and share for other people on how we talk about what's going on in the culture. Hence, We Talk Different.
Yeah. Okay. So now it's one thing to have friends and just to like sit around and do this, but it's another thing to say, like, you know what? We want people to eavesdrop on our conversation. Who came up with that idea?
So, Elijah,
I'll jump in. So I kind of came into this work environment after it was already established by Ashley and Ryan. And this is Elijah, by the way, one of three.
Yeah, how would you identify if you were gonna say, okay, this is who I am for people that can't do like a voice ID?
Yeah, exactly. My name's Elijah. I am the other third. We Talk Different.
The other third.
So I kind of came into a culture, at least a work culture, where Ashley and Ryan had already been having these conversations. And the thing about it was kind of happening around the lunch table. So during break, people would just kind of sit in, and not only were they having conversations, but people who were kind of easing or eavesdropping into the conversations were also being affected by the conversation as well. And I tried to jump in and also put in my two cents, and it was a open, inviting environment. And from there, I think there was a sense of lack. There was a sense that this type of conversation was needed and necessary, and there were a lot of people wanting it, but it just wasn't happening, at least in the circles that we ran in. So we entertained this idea of kind of putting it out there. We would always say, like, man, we need to record this, like, after a hour-long session on
or more
on a particular topic during lunch. We're just like, man, why didn't we record that, or why didn't we put it out there, or something like that. I remember I was sitting waiting for the iPhone 6 at 4 in the morning with Ryan, and we were literally waiting in line for hours, and it just kind of got to the point where I was like, okay, we keep having these conversations. Every single one of us knows particular circles that are in dire need or really thirsty for these type of conversations, why don't we just record?
How would you describe the circles that each of you kind of are in?
I think for me, when we first started, my circle was being redefined. I moved from Atlanta to Dallas and kind of was thrown into conservative evangelical culture. And as a Black woman, for me, it was really hard to find community in certain spaces. So for me, my circles looked like attending a Black church. And so around a conservative evangelical Black church, and then also in a work environment that, you know, was kind of very similar, if not more conservative. And so, I mean, I'll just add this to the pot. As we were developing the idea to do the podcast, there was a moment in time where I couldn't, both of these circles were too oppressive for me to continue having conversations. So there was a time where actually Ryan and I just, well, really just me, I was like, I'm not doing it anymore. I couldn't deal. I mean, it was like months. and I had to process alone and commit to coming back to the conversation at some point. But I mean, I'll credit, you know, Ryan's, I think he's a Christian, so I'll credit him to having some type of grace and mercy and love for me, in that he didn't just completely throw me away. He would come back and keep asking questions and kind of test the waters. Because it was touchy there for a while, because it was so frustrating. Because at my circle at the time, there wasn't a safe space for me to talk through stuff. Because it was too much for me to not only be in those oppressive environments, but then also champion the conversation. And I didn't have the right language yet. I didn't have my people. Like, I came from Atlanta, and, you know, once you spend time with people long enough, you have a certain way of speaking and a certain words that you use where you don't have to explain yourself and go through all the layers. And some of that stuff, you know, you don't have to do when you're in the right circle. So for Black people, you know, it's another way that we speak a different language, although, I mean, we're using English, but when you go into a Black environment, it's a whole nother system going on. And so when Elijah came along, by that time, Ryan and I had worked through some stuff. All of the coworkers were there to kind of benefit from the hard work that it took emotionally and mentally to get through and push through and find language. And then all of us just started to grow. Like, we learned how to talk. And then by the time Elijah came, he just added to that. And I think that circle began to form its own culture and grow out. And once we started the podcast, I think it just went from there as well.
Can I jump in and piggyback off that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
So I'm Ryan Holmes. I'm the third of the podcast. So I'm the white guy in the group.
I was gonna bring it up if you weren't, so
no. People, one of our main asked questions has been, what do y'all look like? Because we haven't really had a visible public presence until now.
And I got to just say that when I started listening to you, I did a deep dive on the internet to try to find that out for myself. So, yes, that is something that people want to know.
It is, because they want to know who's talking about this and what do they look like. So because we live in a racialized society, I have had to learn to talk about my whiteness. And as the white person in the group, I've always been fine if I'm going to talk about race in a private setting. So if it's me and Elijah or me and Ash, if it's a mixed group of different ethnicities as a whole, it doesn't scare me. I don't shy away from difficult topics. One of my leadership goals and philosophies has always been to encourage authentic discussion amongst people. So if they want to talk about abortion or gay marriage, I want to have those conversations so we can all think better and think more critically about these topics. But when Ash and E kept pushing me to want to do this publicly, that was when I noticed my own fragility, my own brokenness of not wanting to put myself in any sort of a space publicly about this. I can do it all day long. If you come in to my office and we're at the conference table, we go out to lunch, you come to my house for dinner. But man, when Elijah and him and I were waiting for the iPhone, Apple bringing people together, when he said that, it was in the middle, it was just in the middle of, I don't know what we were talking about. He just stopped and said, so like, for real, when are we going to do this podcast? And keep in mind too, this was in 2016. So this was in the, what was it, like a month or two after the Dallas shooting that happened in July of 2016. And all of us are in downtown Dallas. So that had a very profound effect on, I think, the three of us as a whole. Mm-hmm. And that began to push me more and more to realize that what Ash and I had talked about for so long was important. And I also wanted to add this, that when Ashley asked for time, for space away from the conversation, a very common, I think, aspect for white culture is for us to individualize that, to say, well, Ashley's upset with me and she thinks I'm being a racist, or I as Ryan Holmes am the problem. For whatever reason, I never understood that from Ashley. And I always understood Ashley as needing a break from the conversation, from the system as a whole. And that may have been just because of the way I grew up in and around Detroit. It may have been from my time when I was in Savannah, Georgia, doing things with different ethnic and racial groups. I'm not sure, but I've never interpreted things that Ashley and I have done, or Elijah and I have done, as necessarily directed at me. Though there are definitely times when they've corrected me on things that I've done wrong. It's never been an individualized discussion about how Ryan is the problem. We're discussing systems. As a white person, I fall into a collective that tends to act in a certain way. And Ashley, at that point in time, needed a break from the whole conversation, from dissecting these things, because when we would talk about this stuff, she would be able to, she would leave and have to wrestle with this and live in a female body with black skin in a predominantly white space. When I walked away from the conversation, I walked away as a male white guy that could forget the conversation as soon as I walked out the door of the office. But Ashley had to keep wrestling with it and guard herself and protect how she lived. And so there was a privilege that's inherent in that conversation that exhausted her in a way that it doesn't for me, if that makes sense.
What's been the cost of doing this podcast? Is this trauma laughter? Or is this like, oh, that's a really funny question.
This is funny. the cost of the podcast, it's funny in a way that I don't think we anticipated both the cost and the benefit, to be quite honest. I think the cost of the podcast was before we ever started the podcast. It was learning how to be in relationship with people and kind of just fighting through a commitment, for me, commitment issues, in that when you think about dealing with racism, when you think about my lived experience as a black woman, all of the things that it already cost me, one of the things that I think that was paid early was the confirmation of my faith and hope and belief in everything that I desire, you know, to be the outcome, which is for racism to be ended. And so that meant for me, I had to play a part in being committed to a space that was very harmful for me at one point. And pushing through and committing to believing the best about people. And I don't mean like in the sense that they are not depraved. I mean in the sense that, you know, God can redeem and God can reconcile, and God can give me the strength and the grace to work through people's ideas about me, thoughts, beliefs, ignorance. And I think that just goes on and on and on. And so I think what it cost me early on what I'm trying to say is putting myself in a space that, like Ryan mentioned, that I have to live in daily, and kind of getting to this idea that if I'm going to fight for reconciliation, if I'm going to fight for reparations, if I'm going to fight for the church, then that means I have to sacrifice my safe space sometimes. And that's really hard when you live that way every day. You don't want to willingly put yourself in a space that would require that type of sacrifice. So I think that's what I pushed through before we ever started the podcast. And somehow we got over that hump by the grace of God and learned how to talk to each other. And the benefits from that is that I've learned so much just in general, just information, history, all of that. But I've also learned what it means to be in a committed relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ who I have to give the benefit of the doubt that God can work through them and in them and process the sin and systemic racism out of them. And I don't mean just white people, and I don't mean just Ryan. I mean the American church. I mean Black folks that I talk to. I mean anybody that occupies and operates in an oppressive systemic space towards Black women. And so it became very personal, and then at some point it becomes very global for me in the way that I relate to people now. That's been the benefit. But the sacrifice was paid early on, where you kind of have to push through putting yourself in harm's way. And then also learning how to care for yourself at the same time. That's also been the learning curve, is when do I get to take a break, and when is a space not progressive, and when is it kind of being counterintuitive and counterproductive to the overall goal, and learning how to engage those different people on different levels and knowing when to. So for me, I think that's my cost. I doubt that it's the same for Ryan and Elijah.
Yeah, I think for me, the cost for me has been almost parallel with the benefit. I think before doing this podcast, I realized that there was a very serious problem. And it's almost like going to the doctor's office and realizing that you have a cancer that's spreading. And I think racism has been a cancer that's continuing to spread. And as we hyper-focus on particular aspects of theology, race, gender, we start realizing a lot of the problem and a lot of the ways that it continues to manifest itself in the American church, globally, and evangelicalism, and almost every facet and system that's out there. So for me, it's been sobering and depressing at the same time, kind of learning just how deep and how long a lot of these problems have been continuing, and just with what precision that it's been, I guess, happening throughout history. So, and I say that as the cost, because that comes with a true self-reflection. And for me, a lot of that self-reflection is, in what ways am I participating in colonized Christianity? In what ways am I participating in perpetuating systems of oppression as a man, even though I'm a Black man who's privileged? In what ways am I perpetuating systems of oppression for women in the church and out of the church, for non-able-bodied people, for colored women, for people who don't have the same systems of advantage, of privilege that I have? And it caused me to really, in my dissection, do a lot of self-reflection. And I guess that was the benefit in just this process and this journey. And I think a lot of times it's been cathartic for us. Like we have gone through so much in the process of doing this podcast. We're not 30,000 feet up looking down talking about racism that's happening, or systems of oppression that are affecting us. If I can speak for myself, I've had to have self-care through the form of counseling, through the form continually getting circles around me that help encourage, uplift, and give me life in a lot of ways, just because doing this work, having this conversation, meeting with people, and literally hitting your head against the wall, trying to just tear down some of the strongholds that we are facing, has been painful. So, yeah, all that to say, the cost and the benefit have kind of walked simultaneously at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I don't think we've ever actually talked about this formally before as a group. This is Ryan again, by the way.
Ooh, I found a topic you haven't covered yet. All right.
Yeah, well, that's what it's always fun when we talk to other people, because other things come out that we haven't, you've never formally said, even though it's implicitly understood.
Yeah.
And I really resonate with what Elijah was saying, that it's been cathartic for me, but as a white male, it's been extremely, I've learned so much from these two, who have been overly patient at times. And I think the sense of humor that both Elijah and Ashley possess have enabled them to deal with me at times. So to the cost though, I think for me, as I was growing up, seeing implicitly what was going on in society, but being taught as a white person, as a very privileged white person. And so when we keep using the word privilege, in case your listeners aren't aware of that, we're not strictly discussing a socioeconomic status, how rich or poor you are. We're discussing a whole host of intersectionalities, from your religion, to your age, to your race, to your gender, to the way you identify yourself, how you present yourself physically, which is typically termed like cisgendered, that you identify with how you were born.
Now we're going to start going deep. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so... But I don't want your listeners to tune out, though, because they hear the word privilege, and then the immediate snapback from our people, from white people, is, well, I grew up really poor. I lived in a car. I was homeless. And so I didn't have any benefits. But that's not necessarily the case, because you could have a whole bunch of other privileges that enable you to do things that other groups don't have the benefit to. And that doesn't mean that Elijah or Ashley don't have certain privileges themselves either, even in the midst of systemic oppression. But as a whole, we're trying to discuss collective people, not just individuals. As I was growing up in my different circles of privilege and influence, from having married parents to being native born, to knowing English as my first language, to Christianity as the dominant religion and one that I identify with, and courtesy of Ashley, apparently still identify with. So, thanks for that, Ash.
You're welcome.
But as I've wrestled with this, though, what really started to set it off was, I think just before Ashley was hired, that was kind of the time of Trayvon Martin in early 2012. That was the beginning of Black Lives Matter. And I was looking at these things and saying, why is the world this way? Why do we keep telling white people that we need to be colorblind and race doesn't matter? When I look at the news and all I see are the headline stories are what black people are doing and who got arrested and who got shot. And the fact that when Elijah gets pulled over, he doesn't get treated the same way I do when I get pulled over. And I've gotten pulled over so many times in my life, and I just get warnings, or they're friendly to me, but they're antagonistic toward Ashley or Elijah, or they actually kill the person. And I'm thinking this doesn't line up. So I started to wrestle with what's required of me, and what am I going to do about it? If I see this, what am I supposed to now go and do? And then through that, Ashley came into my life, and eventually Elijah did. And they pushed me out to have to speak more about it. And it's put me in a lot of awkward situations as a white person because white people, like I said, we don't talk about race. That's something we never play the race card. We are colorblind. We see everybody equally, which I think is one of the best lies collectively that white people have bought into.
Have you noticed that white people only tell people that they don't see color when they're talking to people of color? I think yes, that's like the funniest thing ever. I'm like, oh, okay. So why are we bringing this up again?
Which is, that's a really good point, Eric, because a lot of times when I talk to white people in the absence of a person of color in the space, the white person will identify the person that they're telling me the story of if it's a person of color. So if it's a white person, they would say, well, you know, when I was talking to this guy for this podcast, so I'm going to assume naturally that you're a white man because you didn't explicitly state that it was other, which goes into part of our overall dominant society that we understand white as normal. So anything that is not white is a deviation or an abnormality. So we as white people have to identify that to ensure the context of the story, right? So if I'm talking to Elijah, now it's, well, when I was talking to this black guy once, he said, but if I was talking to Eric, I would just say, when I was talking to this guy.
Yes. White people get to just be labeled as people.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so and that's been something that I've really had to come to terms with. So that's not, I wouldn't say that's a cost per se, but it's part of my growing racial awareness that when I'm in predominantly white spaces, which is most of my life, I'm frequently confronted with the idea that what you're saying, and racism isn't a strict binary, so I'm not going to say this person's a racist, but what you're discussing is a racialized concept. So you've internalized race as a certain thing, and it's invisible to you at this point. So we need to kind of break that down and talk about, well, why are you calling out the fact that he's Hispanic or that he's Asian or black? Mm-hmm. So we need to talk through that because you've now identified that all people are not necessarily equal. There's an added component to your lived reality that you believe is important, but you don't want to actually formally say that for fear of somebody calling you a racist.
So what caused each of you just to decide, like, okay, there's those self-protective factors, like this is how we talk in group about race or don't talk about it in some cases. What made each of you decide, like, okay, with these two people, I'm going to lean in? Can you identify that at all?
You know,
I like your Sheryl Sandberg lean in reference too. Very nice, Eric. Very nice. Touche.
Could you unpack that?
Oh, can we unpack it? Ha!
Oh, take a drink.
That's so funny. I don't know if we're that smart, and no shade to you, Ryan and Elijah. No, let me explain.
Speak for yourself, Ash. Come on.
I really don't think that we could credit that choice. It just kind of organically happened, and I mean, I don't know if you want to go as far as Providence, but it just.
Well, maybe.
I'm not sure we intentionally said. In our brains, you know, I'm going to do this with Ryan and Elijah, and that's going to be the perfect mix. It just, we were friends. And out of that friendship, I think that trust was built over time to, I think the emphasis I'm trying to make is by the time we got to the podcast, work had been done for 4 years. I don't know how long.
Okay, yeah, 3 or 4.
Okay.
Building a relationship before we ever decided to work through stuff on air. So I think that was important for that to be true, because by the time we got to on air, we needed to know how to not internalize and be sensitive or be offended. We could disagree. We could get angry. We could do all this stuff and know, like, we've already committed to being friends at this point. And that happened organically. We didn't just choose each other in that way. So,
And Ash, too, I think, like, at least for you and I, since we worked together several years, there's just a lot of lived life. So it's not like every time Ashley and I get together, we're sitting there talking about systemic issues and internalized dominance and white privilege. And
then everybody else leaves the room.
No, yeah. I mean, like, there were a lot of times, like, Ashley and I would just cut up about whatever was on TV or a movie we saw, or we have a lot of similar, I guess, ways of seeing the world, our sense of humor, music. So there was a lot of shared, there was common vocabulary in that sense. But once you got past those surface issues, that's where Ashley and I would have to do work, and even Elijah and I. And that's when other people in our space would kind of, it felt like they would just kind of crowd around and they would sit there and watch Ashley and I argue about how to understand. And it wasn't arguing where we were, I don't think, mad at each other. It was just, we were fundamentally realizing that the plane I was flying in was at 35,000 feet headed north and hers was at 20,000 feet headed west. So it was like you're going different directions at different altitudes, and the vocabulary you have is just very different. But we have a lot of lived experience where we just enjoyed each other in general, I think. And it allowed us to then build into, or as you said, lean in. but it allowed us to lean into that conversation more. And I think because I really liked Ashley, and I still do.
Thanks.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to talk to her. And the woman is, she's just flat out brilliant. So
I think all three of you actually are. I think that's part of the magic, too, if I'm going to be honest here. So,
well, and one of the common things that we've heard is how friendly we all are. And I think that stems from just the fact that all of us have, we all love comic book stuff. We all like certain types of music and we have similar comedy obsessions.
We're normal people.
Yeah, I mean, we're complex normal people. But it creates that personality on a quote unquote air that people I think resonate with, because it just feels like three friends sitting down talking about stuff who just happen to have a lot of education, both life experience wise and formal education. And so we've been able to build on, I think, that lived component.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I listen is like, I do. I love hearing people getting along, especially if I'm like, you know, let's say like I'm driving with my kids and we just had an argument, you know, about, you know, whether you actually need to wear a seatbelt or who gets to put what on the radio. I'm like, a podcast again, Dad, really? But I mean, it's the friendship that you have, I think it undergirds all the learning that happens. You kind of drop little droplets of knowledge into everybody's heads as you're kind of goofing around. And I think that's part of the magic, for me, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, a lot of the times whenever we've recorded stuff, there have been so many points in the podcast where, for myself, again, as the white person, I've just realized just sit back and shut up and let Elijah, like, he goes off on his deacon rant and then he just like, torches people. Or, like, Elijah and I will be sitting there, and Ashley is just going off on something. And I look at him just like, I think we're going to wrap the episode after this, because there's nowhere to go once Ashley, like, she comes in like the Hulk and just smashes it all out. And then you're just like, oh, okay, we're done.
Okay, well, let me ask you a couple, just more like painting the picture. Like, when you guys are recording, are you all in the same room? Are you in different places? Like, how does this, you know, what's the dynamic there?
Go ahead.
We're so
different to each other. See, that's the exact reason why we are in the same room. Yep. It's because we do feed off of each other. And I think being in the same room and being able to see each other, and there's so many times where I've gotten a look from Ash and I'm able to interpret on the spot what she's saying. And vice versa. It's just, I think just that dynamic, and I think that stems from when we were all together, kind of talking at work, and just kind of building off of each other, and we'd give each other looks and just break out laughing. And I think just a lot of those components can be lost doing it over the air. And honestly, we have the luxury and the privilege of being able to be in the same space. I mean, I'm sure if work or something were to take us across country, we would have to do what we'd have to do, but. I think since we are close to each other, and we know that kind of incarnational recording is more.
Wow.
I had to pay for that.
Wow, man. We're going to use that later today. Incarnational recording.
So all that to say, we do enjoy that, that being together more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it facilitates the conversation faster because we've noticed there's always kind of a lag whenever we do a Skype talk with people or even kind of over a telephone.
Even like this one, yeah.
Because you're always kind of waiting, and you're waiting to hear, like, okay, is Ash going to say something? Does Eric want to jump back in? So Elijah and I right now, we're physically sitting next to each other. So I'm able just to point at him and say, well, you know, why don't you go? Or he'll look at me and be like, shut up. You're talking too much again. You're white-splaining. But I think there is, like you said, incarnational recording that it really gives us a just a kind of a real-time feel. Like you're just literally listening to three friends around the table.
I can't believe y'all, you repeated that, incarnational recording. That is not a thing. No.
It's a thing now.
I'm on the trademark website right now. So.
Be a new page on our website.
Oh my god.
but I guess even the way we're joking now, this is how we are. So if your listeners are wondering, like, I wonder what their podcast is like, I mean,
like this
is what it's like. we try to be relaxed and have fun with each other and whoever we're talking to, but we are talking about serious stuff like human rights violations. We're talking about oppression. And we care about culture and we care about the Christian faith actually transforming both the individual as well as the society and the systems that create that society.
I want to give people a little taste of what your podcast is like. So what are you guys talking different about this week?
Oh, okay. Elijah and I are both scrambling like, oh man, what did I just read this morning?
So how do you guys figure that? I mean, is that like, do you have a lot of off-air conversation? Like, oh, I'm going to do this. No, you can't do that. I was going to do that one. How do you decide?
When we get together, we probably spend a good 30 minutes, depending on what happened that day, to an hour just talking about random stuff, just downloading. And sometimes I think it was this last time where we were trying to figure out if we were going to have the same We Talk Different article, Ryan.
Yeah, you and I. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know how to, I don't know how we find our stuff. It's just we have a group text, which I hate, by the way, but we group text throughout the week. I also am guilty of using it from time to time. But we're always talking to each other and like, yo, did you see this? Did you hear this? Did y'all check this out? I'm reading this book or something's happening on the news. We're always sharing constantly stuff that's going on in the culture. So by the time we get together, we have so much to catch up on and review and critique and deconstruct that we'd normally have more than one thing to choose. But anyway.
Yeah, go for that.
I was going to say also that the speed of information is so fast that there's so much happening between one recording and the next that sometimes, I mean, we try to map out and plan out our recordings topically as much as possible. But then, I don't know, a shooting can happen within the next 2 weeks or Snoop Dogg can drop a gospel album or whatever. You know?
just hypothetical things that could interrupt
a week. Yeah, just hypothetical things, you know, or I mean, I think one of the themes that we've seen in the last like month is just a lot of the 911 calls that are happening on a lot of, minorities in this country.
Did you see the Washington Post article on that?
I know.
Oh, I think it's Washington Post. You got to look it up. It's really good.
Yeah.
Basically okay, this is what I'm going to be talking to different about, is that I read it this morning and So that's an opinion piece where they're asking like, well, why don't people turn around and push back and say like, you're filing false police reports? Why aren't we prosecuting the people who call 911 for stupid stuff when they're just using it as an extension of, you know, how to intimidate black people, for example, you know?
Right.
Like, why isn't that a thing? Like, that's a good question.
Yeah. That's probably rhetorical, but
yeah. Yes, I was about to say. Because they're black.
But listen to We Talk Different.
I do think you raise a good point. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, yeah, there's just so much happening within a 2 week or a week span that I think a lot of times we don't ever want to be married to a particular topic. It's like, no. I mean, we do have topics that we're obviously going to always come back to, but you know, sometimes there's always something happening and we're just like, okay, let's try to address this as best as we can.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm talking different about this week. Did you guys hear about the Beyonce mask?
There's a Beyonce mask?
I guess nobody has.
What?
Yep, there is. I think it's a church, a Catholic church in California that held a worship service. A mass.
Yeah.
Where they sang all Beyonce songs, whether it was from Destiny's Child or her solo album. And it basically,
Say mass. Yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, it's called Grace Cathedral. That's what it's called. Grace Cathedral. Beyonce Mass. And they basically wanted to open up their church to allow lots of types of people, but specifically marginalized groups of people to come in. And they were going to share the gospel at some point. But so they used Beyonce as a means to evangelize.
So, Ash, like, how do you get the CCLI licensing?
Listen.
All the single ladies.
Somebody.
I can't.
Go to Oregon?
I mean, you know, I don't even know how that works.
Yeah. I could have him. Wow.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I guess I feel like I'm gonna do this same one on our podcast, and we actually record later today. But there's an article on First Things. Abigail, I think it's Favale. She wrote an article called "Evangelical Gnosticism," and she is a professor. And she was describing her experience being in an evangelical university and seeing so many students come in. With basically a split view of how the body and the soul interact, that the body is essentially kind of tying you down. It's holding you back. It's just something you need to free yourself from and get to the blissful, disembodied heaven state, which is what Gnosticism promoted. And even before that, what Plato argued for. And so she did an absolutely fantastic job in a nice short article discussing what Gnosticism is and how that, the implications are very real for how we believe, live our lives, and the language we choose to use then around describing things like purity or our salvation. And it's a fantastic article.
Well, this was super fun. I've wanted to do this for such a long time, so I'm really glad that you guys were willing to do this. I don't know if you had to get up extra early to do it or how this all worked out, but thank you very, very much.
No, thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was. I didn't get up too early, any earlier than I normally do. But yeah, thanks for having us. And, super thankful.
This is really, I want to say thank you too, and anybody can just hit us up at wetalkdifferent.com and they can email us or find our podcast and hang out with us too.
And they can message us on our Facebook group like you did. So
how
we got connected.
You're real people. Yes.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And
yes, very much so.
Do you know that it gives like the little message that says like, "We Talk Different" usually replies back within 1 hour.
Do you know that? Are we that fast?
It says that when you send you a message. Wow.
That's good. I mean, Elijah and I, we all try to police it. So we try to like make sure that it like people, we respond to people because we care about our audience. I feel like I want people to know that we interact with them. We're not just saying this stuff from like the ivory tower. We're trying to say like we're doing the work and living the life, and we want to talk to y'all. So we're here.
you've been listening to the Antioch Podcast. Thanks for listening. Worship well together.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Goodbye.
And God bless.
Thank you so much.
Antioch Podcast listeners, we'd love to stay in touch. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, as well as on the web at www.antiochpodcast.org. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, please rate and review us. Positive reviews help others find us when looking for quality podcasts. And now, for our regular post-podcast disclaimer.
You have been listening to the Antioch Podcast. The opinions expressed on the Antioch Podcast are not the official views of Madison Church, its leadership, or the denomination of the Christian Reformed Church. Madison Church is a member of the Christian Reformed Church and adheres to its doctrinal standards. The purpose of this podcast is to provide recorded examples of the kinds of conversations which we believe churches need to have in an increasingly diverse world. These kinds of conversations pave the way for a multi-ethnic congregation to design worship services with unity and justice, and truly worship God diversely together. Thanks for listening. Bye!